జయంబుషుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితినీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగామాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమాంశ్వపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూజలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితం భగవదం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసందదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్నపారిజాతాయ తోత్రమే త్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్ వసుదేవ సుదం దేవం కంస చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణదడాజయద్రత జలాగాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జనశల్పదైరహరః పీబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారతపంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మావరుణీంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యై సవయ వేదై సాంగవదై క్రమ ఉపనిషదీర్ఘాయంది యం సామగాహం ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసావశ్యంది యం యోగినో యస్యాంగం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Earlier, Krishna said there, Bhavanti Bhava Bhudana Matta Eva Pradagvidaha. All Bhavam comes from Krishna, isn't it? That's what Krishna was saying. Matta Eva Pradagvidaha. Pradagvidaha means all Bhavams. Matta Eva Pradagvidaha. So, Krishna said that all Bhavam comes from Him. Matta Eva Pradagvidaha. For example, when we see this world, outside world, right? And if we close our eyes, what happens? Mind starts working. Inside the mind, so many thoughts comes, or so many emotions comes. And if you open the eyes, you see the world outside. If you close the eyes, the mind starts operating. Mind operates even otherwise, but when you shut the eyes, immediately everything what you see is inside the mind. Right? So, outside the world and inside the mind, mind means chittavati, thought waves, and so that is called a manasa pratyaksham. That means what you see inside the mind. The outside what you see is bahya pratyaksham, outside world, right? The what you think see outside. So when you close your eyes, you see all the chittavrittis coming inside. Whatever thought waves, that's coming. Chittavritti is coming inside, right? And this chittavritti and all the world outside, Krishna talked about that in the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter, Krishna says these things. He's saying there that yogi sees both these things as a witness. The world outside also he is a witness, but he will see the thought waves that's coming inside also as a witness. That is the yogi's position. Right? So, and every time when you see an object outside and proportionately it will create a thought wave inside us. Every time when we see something outside, a person or an object, it creates a proportional thought wave inside us. That is natural. That's the way it is, right? So, when we see, when we talk about seeing something as a witness outside, similarly, Krishna says that a yogi will see his thought wave in the same way. Just like when you see an object outside, you are not involved in the object. You are remaining as a witness to it and see the object. Depending on your state of mind, it will create ragadvesham inside. If there is no ragadvesham, that means you are not affected by that. In the similar way, Krishna says, a yogi will see an object outside in the way, like that as a sakshi, and he will also see inside the thought wave also as a sakshi. In other words, not affected by the thought wave, right? So, and that Krishna calls it as tattvavid, one who knows the tattvam. And Krishna also said in the later, in the 14th chapter, he said about gunadis and qualifications spoken, one who has transcended the modes of nature. He said, prakasham cha, 22nd verses, 22nd and 23, prakasham cha navrittim pravrittim cha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti sampravrtani na nivrtani kankshari. And udasinava dasinam, again the same thing Krishna is saying, udasinam. Udasinam means this sakshi-like vision, seeing like a sakshi. Udasinava dasinam gunaryona vichalyade gunavartanda mityeva yo avadushtani nogade. So, Krishna says that this gunam, three modes of nature, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, what happens is that it is working outside. I have nothing to do with it. The modes of nature is working, right? So, any yoga process, the first step in life is, in the yoga system is, this sakshi bhava, able to see things as a witness to everything, not getting involved in it, but able to see in a sakshi bhava. For example, in the mind, the vrittis are coming, different types of vrittis, right? And able to see them like that, as a vritti, thoughts have come. Anger comes, for example. We all get angry sometimes, isn't it? So anger comes. So, and we see that I'm getting angry, the change that's happening in me, right? Just like you see an object outside, in the same way you have to see that anger that comes inside. When the anger comes, right? And that is the first practice. And when you get angry, either you go into a room and shut the door and sit inside. And because anger is also like an object that comes inside. Like you can see impact on us, yes, impact on us. Some people who have, suppose you watch a movie on a television or a cinema screen, we will identify with the cinema, what you have seen, right? Or some personality in the cinema. People identify with him very closely, right? Similarly, this mind also is like a screen inside, operating, right? Because there is not much space there, therefore we become one with that mind. Actually, mind is not with us, really. Mind is a separate force operating from the self, right? So, therefore, we have to find the space, because there's not much space there. And because of that, all these different bhavam, what Krishna said there, mattaeva pradagvida, anger, envy, pride, all these things, they come, and they are all different objects that is coming up inside, like the objects outside. Thought waves are nothing but objects that is building up inside the mind. Sometimes you also feel bhakti, devotion in the heart, meditation mood, and similarly, and you feel satugunam inside, the effect of satugunam inside us, also you can feel sometimes. If you carefully observe the mind, you will see these three modes coming, going, at different times. Yeah. And when satugunam comes, you will see this feeling of meditation mood, and also feeling of devotion, and come a peaceful state inside. When you feel like that, that means satugunam has come inside. Yeah. And sometimes rajogunam comes in and creates a lot of disturbances and emotions, very strong emotions, everything. And when neither of them are present, sometimes you feel very dull and depressed and want to go to bed. All those thoughts are tamogunams. So one should practice this to some extent possible to know what Krishna is saying here. Within ourselves, we can know that. How satugunam comes and does its job, rajogunam comes and does its job, and tamogunam comes and does its job inside us. How that's happening, right? So, all these things are happening in the mind. These things are happening in the mind. So, sleep is also the mind, and anger is also in the mind. And bhakti is also in the mind. All the three things are experienced in the mind, right? And similarly, something what you like, what you don't like, all this is mind, right? So Krishna is saying here that one who knows this, that this is all happening inside his mind, and able to remain aloof from that, that for him, that one who is observing these things, he is called in the Shastram as Nyapti. Nyapti means that. Nyapti, you see the same thing addressed in different names, right? Nyapti. So that Nyapti who is observing this is the soul, is Atma. And that is the same which we call it as consciousness, Bodham, in these words, right? And that is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam is that, the one who is observing all these things, what's happening inside, or what you are seeing outside. The one who is seeing. So, it is that in Nyapti, all this is coming up, emotions, and it stays in that Nyapti, and it disappears in that Nyapti. So, and Krishna gave another name to that, Kshetrajna. In the 13th chapter, Chit Shakti, right? So, that thing that is present inside us, which is illuminating everything, that light or illumination of, which makes all these things happen inside, in other words, these emotions, this satogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and its effects on the in us, all that's happening, that thing, power, is Chit Shakti, or the light from the Yapti. So, just like you are seeing in the Jagrat everything with the eyes, when you shut the eyes, go to dream state, you are still seeing things inside, not outside. Inside you are seeing, the effect is there, impact is there, just like you see outside, right? And in Sushupti, you don't see anything, only experience of their happiness of the soul, right? So, and that is what, that's all happening in that bodham, awareness. In awareness, all this is experienced. When you see things outside, it is in your awareness. Similarly, when you experience inside in the dream state, it is in the awareness. Again, in the deep sleep state, it is in the awareness that you are experiencing the happiness of the deep sleep. What comes there? So, and that is what Krishna was saying here. What he said in that fourth and fifth verses. In the tenth chapter. You remember, buddhi jnanam asammoham, kshama satyam dama shamam, sukham dukkham bhavo abhavo, bhayam cha abhayam eva cha, ahimsa samata tushti, tabo danam yasho ayasha, bhavandi bhava bhudanam mata eva pradagvidaha. All these bhavam. So, good ones, the bad ones, all of them, comes up there, and stays sometimes and then disappears there. Bhayam abhayam eva cha. Sukham dukkham bhavo abhavo. Bhayam abhayam eva cha. All of them. So, and he said also that the samatha tu ahimsa samatha tushti tapas. All these things are internal ones, andariyam, right? And outwardly, he also said that in the Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastataha, next verse, Madbhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loga Imam Prajaha. So, Krishna is saying that in the beginning, in the creation, all the different forms that has come, like the rishis, saptarishis, and they have also come, devas, demigods. Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatvaro Manavastatha, all of them, all the divine forms, like the rishis, like the devadas, right? And from then onwards, all up to the living entity, smallest living entity, everybody has come from me. And it exists in me, and it disappears in me. Yeah, it disappears in me. So, chatvara manavasada madbhava manasa jada yesham loga imaha prajaha. All the creation in this world, all living entities has come from me, madbhava manasa jada and yesham loga imaha prajaha. Everything has come from my sangalpam, Krishna says. So, all living entities in this world has come from Krishna, and it is existing because Krishna is there. Krishna means the bodham, awareness, right? And it disappears there. And this is the way Vedantam sees creation. Vedantam is different from others. Vedantam's approach is this. Consciousness exists, everything comes from consciousness, stays in consciousness, disappears into consciousness. That's all creation. Yeah. So, why it is different from science? What science is saying that, when science finishes, Vedantam says that Vedantam has an answer there. For example, you can say Vedantam is one level of science, but Vedantam is actually the end of science. Science never comes to a final decision, does it? How long has this been going on? This research and experiments and speculations has gone on for so long, and they just don't have an answer yet about this creation. Vedantam says, our research is over. This is the end. And it finishes there. Madbhavo manasa jada yesham loka ima prajaha. Right? So, so, science is a method by which you do research, experiments and everything, and then you find out what the result is, right? Whereas in Vedantam, it ends here. That's why it's called Vedantam. Andam it is. At the end of it, right? And knowledge is concerned, it ends here. There is no more further inquiry required, because this thing called knowledge is also, like anything else, it's a manifestation from Antaryami, from the soul. Yeah, like all these emotions that comes, in a similar way, knowledge is also a power that comes from the Antaryami. Antaryami, right? So, it all comes from the Chitshakti, stays in the Chitshakti and disappears in the Chitshakti. Chitshakti means again the same Bodham. Bodham is Chitshakti. Satya, Chitta, Anandam. Out of that Chitshakti is the Bodham, awareness. So, Jayate, Tishtati, Liyate. And in order this to happen, Bodham is necessary. These, all these activities to happen, Bodham, awareness is required. Right? And that Bodham, with that everything ends. Once you have accepted that Bodham, existence of this consciousness or awareness in us, everything ends there. There is nothing go to further from that. Right? And that is the cause of all causes, everything. Which we address in another way, Sachidanandam. Yeah. So, Paramakaranakaranam, the same thing. So, that is the ultimate cause. And Vedam finishes there. Vedam says there is nothing further to inquire after that. Everything is over, right? That means, where did we come from? And how, where we do exist now? And where do we end? Finishes there, right? So, Upanishad will say in a different way. Annam, it says, food. Annan bhudani jayande, jadohi annena vartande. Upanishad says like that. From annam, we have born from annam, and we survive here on annam, and as you know, annam is the food what we consume. We were born from annam and we live in annam, right? And Bhagavatam will say the same in a different way, that one living entity is food for another. Ahastani sahastanam abadani chadushpadam falguni mahadam datra jivo jivasya jivanam. Even the first, the second canto, it comes there. Ahastani sahastanam. That means the way creation is, that one living entity is food for another. And Falguni Mahadam Datra Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. That is the way the creation is. Right? So one jiva requires another jiva to survive. And similarly, if you go step by step, the pranan and then the mind from Annamaya Kosham, Pranamaya Kosham, Manomaya Kosham. In this way, if you go further, ultimately Shruti says Anandamaya Kosham. Anandam exists, right? Then Anandam is Brahmam. And Anandam comes from Antaryami, from Sachidanandam, right? So it comes from Anandam, and it says in Anandam, and disappears in Anandam. So, practically Vedantam's position is like this. Our Adhishtanam or source is not matter. It is not matter, it is divinity itself, which is Sachidanandam, Antaryami or Bodham, awareness. That is our fundamental existence, is that. Yeah? And not Shukla Shonida Samyogam. Not that semen and blood, they have joined together, and that means from the matter life has come. This is where science and us disagree. Vedantam does not agree with this science position. Vedantam says our origin is Bodham. From Bodham, awareness, Chitshakti, Sachidanandam, we have come. And we exist in Sachidanandam, we disappear into that. That is how our existence is. Yeah. So, and what the science is saying, that due to association with the man and the woman, and from that life is born, that is not acceptable for us, right? And so this is the where the biggest difficulty is. Science and Vedantam doesn't agree on very basic itself, from the origin of this, right? So science, the way Vedantam sees science is that science is like a magic, what they are talking about, right? And it is just total stupidity to think in that way. The way science is arguing about the creation, that man, woman had a relationship, from that Jiva has born. No, that cannot happen. That cannot happen, right? So, for example, that Prakriti won't allow us to know many things unless you take it from the rishis. Rishis have come to this conclusion after deliberating over this for thousands of years. It's their conclusion that this cannot come from matter. Life cannot come from matter. Life has to come from life only. And that life is Sachidanandam, Brahman, inside. And therefore there is no further inquiry required, only that exists. If we don't accept it, then we fall into this trap of the science. Yeah. So, and these secrets Ishvara won't reveal to us. It is kept confidential, right? For example, somebody dies, right? We will say, oh, he died out of heart failure, heart attack. Or we will say he died out of cancer or stroke or something like that, right? Shastram says, you don't need any of these things to die. Heart attack or cancer or stroke or whatever we say, it's not required. Because a lot of people die in this world without any of these things. They still die, right? So, when it is time to die, you will die. Krishna has decided, Antaryami inside decides that you have to leave, right? That is, Krishna addresses Kalapurusha. He comes and takes you away from here. But but nobody will say like that. They will. We always normally in our transactions, in the Vyavaharam world, we will say, oh, we took him to hospital, but he had a heart attack, he died. Or we will say something else. The kidney failed, liver failed, that failed, this failed. This will be our explanation to that. But that explanation is not acceptable. Because this body itself is a part of Maya. It's a part of Maya. The Jiva's destiny is decided by Antaryami. Antaryami does not ask Maya, you do this for us. Antaryami decides and Antaryami does it as far as death is concerned. Failure of any part, after the decision has been made, then the failure may happen in the body. It is after effect of the Jiva leaving the body. It is not that kidney failed and therefore I died. I died and then the kidney failed. First part in the body to fail was kidney or the liver or the heart, whatever it may be. Yeah. So, But if you ask the people how is the children born, they will say due to association with man and woman. The children were born, right? So, but if you look at this world, there are a lot of men and women associating. Children are not born. They don't have children. Is it not? Many couple, they struggle in this world. They don't have children. And so, and they feel bad about it, that they don't have children, right? So, that is what Krishna is saying. All the bhavam, matta eva pradagvidha. Krishna is saying, everything comes from Him. He is the original source, right? So basically this is science, psychiatry and all that, all these things, it takes away from proper knowledge, proper understanding of things. Ishvara's control, Ishvara's position is minimized by science, minimized by these psychiatry and sciences, right? Because they keep telling us, everything comes from jadam. And it comes from the mind or this or that, right? And we have been taken away from that divine source where actually everything is coming from. Everything is coming from, right? So practically it is taking us away from the reality. Reality is this divine power inside, Sachidananda Vigraha, under, inside us, Andaryami, Bodham, Jnakti, whichever way, Sutralma, whatever way you say, that Bodham inside, it is from there everything is originating, right? So Ishvara is the main Ishvara who is present inside us, Andaryami, is the real source of everything. But these sciences and all other things does not want you to accept that. They want to project their researched knowledge on us, and most of the people get victimized by that. So, and this power of affecting them like this, to speak in that way, is Maya. That's what's called Maya, right? So, Vishyam Pashyati Karya Karanatmataya, then because of this Karanam, make us to believe that this has happened like this, but we forget about that Moola Vastu, the root of everything. Actually, how much we are controlled, if you want to understand that, if you look at it this way, that life appearance in this world, yeah? And now there is this fear in the world, all over the world. This fear is very strong now. The world's fastest growing religion. The religion of love, they are talking about. Yeah, everywhere it is happening. Now, how does that happen? If we'll think in this way, that Krishna has created a situation by controlling the population. Janam janedi janayan marayan murtyugandagam. He decided that in people who have some faith in a particular section, they should have less children. What's happening in most of the Hindu society, even in the Western society, our thoughts have changed, our way of thinking. Our intelligence is controlled by that power and make us to think that large families are not good. Have to have one child or no children. That's the situation now. Yeah. So if you look at it this way, one or two generations before, we all had 8, 10, 12 children. And in that same society, Krishna has changed their way of thinking and made them to think like this now. Only one child is sufficient. It's not required more than that. Or two, not more than that. Do ya teen bache bas, they were saying when we were small. So we used to think what's all, and every family had 10, 12, there were 4 or 5 girls and 4 or 5 boys as children. That is how the families were. This is a new thing, this one or two. Yeah, yeah. Hamdo Hamarido and all that. Yeah. So the thing is that why did this change happen? Janam janedi janayan. Krishna changed our way of thinking in the whole society. On the other hand, in the other faith, which is the religion which is growing fast, Krishna decided that they should have many wives and as many children as possible, So it is not at all surprising in a very short period of time this whole balance can change. Because the way the number is increased, that kind of propagation happens like that. And it is, they are feeling very happy about, because that's the way they are, if that's what they want, right? So who is controlling all these things? It's neither them nor us. It is this Antamathayeva Pradagvida. This bhavam in us is changing. Who changes the bhavam? Antaryami changes. So Krishna decided that the bhavam in one Vedic followers are all being changed in one way, and in others, their bhavam has also changed. They felt that there is need to have increased population, and for them that is the way that their bhavam has been changed. So this Mathayama Pradagvida has a very important influence on our life. Mathayama Pradagvida. So there is not a lot to know actually, if we understand that source, how it's controlling our life in this world, right? So in the Bhagavatam also, with the first word itself, janmadyasya yataha, everything comes from that source. So this is the approach in the Vedanta Sutram also, janmadyasya yataha. Bhagavatam also, janmadyasya yataha. Yeah. And and because of this way of changing, the way of thinking has changed in us, it has its effect on us, the way we operate in this world. Things which were not stressed out before, we are stressed out now in our life, is it not? When we had 10, 12 children, 14 children and all every family had at one time, the parents were not stressed out like the way today the parents with one child is stressed out. It's not surprising. They didn't feel the stress and we feel the stress too much. Is it not? So you can understand from that children get into stress now so much. Children are also stressed. Even if there is one or two children, they are also very stressed. And they get into depression. Children get into depression, right? And probably because the stress from the parents goes to the children as well, right? And we get them educated in all kinds of things in the modern world. So many subjects to learn, and such a vast field of academic education, right? And we are hammering all these things into these children's head through this education system, right? All for what you can say that our ego or our vanity, whatever it may be, right? There is not a lot to learn in this world, yeah? And everything comes from Brahman, Anandam Ayobhyasad. And it comes from Anandam and it stays in Anandam and it goes into Anandam. That is how Upanishad has to say. And that Anandam is Brahman. Imani Bhutani Jayandi, Ananda Janani Jivandi, Ananda Samvishandi. All this is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Prabhupada has also quoted these verses, right? So, the thing is that Srishti is Anandam for the awareness. It comes from Anandam. Sthiti is Anandam and death is also Anandam. And Ananda Sandro Bhavan. So, even while destruction happens, you will see, Puranams will say like this, Shiva's Tandavam is dancing. While destruction is happening, he is dancing, right? So, Ananda Tandavam. So, Adhishtanam of everything, the foundation of everything is this Anandam. Not Shogam, not distress, but Anandam, right? So, why did Vedantam reject Buddhism? We rejected Buddhism because Buddhism said shunyam, shunyam, everything, right? And when you hear this word shunyam, you will get a feeling that that there is a perception in our buddhi, shunyam, nothing exists, right? So, such words, shunyam, in the Buddhism what says, is not acceptable to Vedantam. Vedantam says, why don't they say anandam? Everything comes from anandam. So, shunyam, they say, because it's another dimension, they are saying like that. What exists? Instead of asserting that, why do they say like that? Nothing exists. So, Upanishads and Vedantam, everything sticks to this anandam. From anandam comes everything. Anandam is his swarupam. Anandam is swarupam. Yeah? So, that is why in Krishnavataram you will see that mentioned that the anandam is the source of everything. Anandarupa Bhagavan Naide Avatare Prapte Pradipta Bhavadanga Niriyamane Kandi Prajeva Kanagana Mandaler Dhyar Avranadi Viruje Kilik Varshavela. Sri Krishnavataram in Narayaniyam begins like that. Anandarupa Bhagavan Naido Avatare. Anandam has come in Krishna's form. Anandam, which is blessed, right? So, anandam is given importance more than anything else in the Shastra. Ananda Rupa Bhagavan, right? Anandam is Krishna Swarupam. So, it is from that all the creation has happened. So, Mula Vastu of creation is Krishna. Mula Vastu is Krishna, right? And then you are seeing divinity in everything, right? For example, there is avidya inside us. What is the avidya? What is in us? How does avidya works in us, right? If you start seeing that something exists separately from Brahman, that itself is avidya. Actually, only Brahman exists here. Yatra anyat pashyati, anyat shrunoti, anyat vijanati. Yatra na bhavyat pashyati, na pashyati, anyat pashyati, na anyat shrunoti, na anyat vijanati, sa bhuma, Upanishad says. So, this is Nikaya Upanishad says, that bhumeiva amrtam sukham, na alpe sukham asti. So, this is the Upanishad's way of explaining things. What it's saying is here that when you see things separately, tribhudi will come. The seer, the seen, and the process of seeing. When you see like that, it is difficult to know anandam. Because anandam is tribhudi heenam. That tribhudi does not exist in the anandam. For example, when you are seeing things separately, while he is in meditation, even if he is seeing happiness inside, when he wakes up from the meditation, his yoga state he will lose. Yoga sthiti will go, right? He may not even feel the peace inside, even though he was experiencing meditation inside. So, the important thing is, Krishna is saying that when you see many things in this world, these different things, you will get affected by that. Brahman will come from that. So, therefore, Krishna is saying in the next verse, etam vibhudim yogam cha mamayo veti tatvada so avigambena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. So, one who understands my vibhudi, Krishna said, two things he is saying. First one, the vibhudi. Vibhudi and the second one is a yogam. Vibhudi yogam it's called, isn't it? First thing, one who knows the vibhudi, and second thing, one who knows the yogam. It is a very subtle topic, what is discussed in that. Yeah. So, first thing is to know the tattvam, tattviyam, tattvic understanding, right? Tattvigam means not philosophy, Tatiyam does not mean philosophy. Yeah? Philosophy is the Western way of expressing it. Everything they think is something like they say it's like the software or something. That's how they say it. Philosophical understanding, they say. Yeah. Tatvya means you become that and knowing that. You become something and knowing that. That's what Tatvya means. Philosophical means you are capturing with the mind and the brain. You are understanding things. Tatvya means you become that and knowing that. Yeah. Tatvam adhyalpiyam drishtva. Gaudapada Acharya says there. Tatvam drishtadu bahyaga. Tatvi budaha tadaramaha. Tatra prachido aprachido bhavet. So, what does that mean? It means that when you are in that yoga state, seeing Antaryami's presence in everything, whether you close your eyes or open your eyes, you are staying in that yoga state. For example, Tattvam, one who is Tattvajnani or one who has known the Tattvam, the way to understand Tattvam through an example is that Prahlada's example, if you take. Yeah? Prahlada's never it is spoken that Prahlada was performing meditation or anything, right? He kept his eyes open, and even when the whole situation around him was totally negative for him, with Hiranyakashipu behaving the way he did, right? And everything turned against him, but even for a second, he did not fall from that state of yoga. Yoga Bramsham didn't happen. Is it not? If you study Prahlada's story, Prahlada didn't do any meditation. Prahlada came with that realization inside and he stayed in that state all the way through. He never moved away from that state. Even though Hiranyakashipu and all the other teachers, Chandamarga and all that, tried to change his way of behaving, they couldn't do it with him. He was not in any yoga state. That is what is called Tattvavit. Tattvavit means you become that and then you don't fall from that state anymore, right? So, Bhagavatam is saying to us, Hiranyakashipu also had Krishna inside him, right? And Hiranyaksha also has Krishna inside him. Ravana also had Krishna inside him. Kumbhakarna also had Krishna inside him. Not only Krishna is present in Rama and Krishna, but Krishna is present in Hiranyakashipu, and Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Kamsa in everybody. So Krishna is present in everyone. Not that he was only present in Ramachandra or Krishna. Right? So, but their case is, in three lifetimes, that jiva has moved away from that body. Which one? Jayavijaya came as three lifetimes. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Ravana Kumbhakarna and Shishupala and Dandavakra, they came out of that, right? So, they also have internally a spiritual state. Who? That jiva who has come as Jayavijaya has come like that. None of them is their permanent state. They are also internally there is a spiritual state. But these bodies are just like obstacles for them in coming to the truth, from the source where they came from. When they had to accept the body, and now after they have accepted the body, then we are saying that they were demons and all that. But even though they are demons, what we call them in our perception, inside them is the same Antaryami who is present in Jaya. Yeah, in Jaya and Vijaya is the same Antaryami who is present in Krishna and Balaram, the same Sachidanandam. Who is present in Krishna and Ramachandra and Balaram, it's the same power that is present in them as well. Yeah. So, when you start coming to that awareness inside us, that is what Krishna is talking about in the Ekadasha Skandam also. that to Uddhava at the end, he said, you have to come to that state from everything, right? So when we say that you can't see wicked people anymore, what that means is, it is difficult to live in this world because there is always wickedness in this world, right? All types of people, right? Both Shiva will be there, Ashiva will also be there. So, and good and bad will always be there. But to go beyond than that, and to see that Ishvara in everything, Ishvara Vibhuti, Vibhuti is this, that, actually what exists is only Ishvara. All these are bhavams. Ravana Kumbhakarna is a bhavam of happened in that Ishvara. Shishupala and Dandavakra is a bhavam that happened in the Ishvara. Same way Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu also. That is what this Mattayeva Pradagvidha is a big thing to understand. What Krishna said there, isn't it? That Ahimsa Bhavandi Bhava Bhudhana Mattayeva Pradagvidha. More you think about it, you can see, you go more into the source. Bhavandi bhava bhudana matayeva pradagvidaha. Right? So, what Krishna is saying now is, he is saying, edam vibhuti yogam cha mamayo veti tattvata so avigambena yogena yujyade natra samshaya. Krishna's point is, one who knows me in this way, that I am the source, these are all different bhavams, and one who is not veti, he has to know not intellectually, but veti tattvada, and that state is avigamba yoga. See this avigamba yoga? Avigamba yoga, avigalpa yoga also they call it sometimes. So avigalpena yogena, I think in our Bhagavad Gita, but in other Bhagavad Gita it's avigamba yoga. Avigambam, avigalpam, it's the same thing. Avigalpa yoga, right? So, that avigamba yogam, vibhuti, you understand what it means, right? And what is that vibhuti becomes a yogam then? How does vibhuti become a yogam? Because the vibhuti is what you have known, that is one side of it. But when you read Bhagavad Gita, you will know this, that this vibhuti is all what you have known in this way. When you come to vyavaharam, you lose all this. Vibhuti is awareness of the vibhuti. You lose that, right? So when you come to vyavaharam, and if you don't lose that vibhuti, then it is called yogam. Samatvam yogam uchyate. Able to remain in that state, not in the mind, but in your very awareness, bodham. If you come to that state where samatvam, equality, if you are able to see, that samatvam yogam uchyate. Krishna said that before. Bhagavad Gita is a very subtle thing. So much to, if you give time and time, all the time if you give for Bhagavad Gita, you will start seeing the subtleness of the Bhagavad Gita, where it's coming from. Krishna mentioned that in one word. So avigambena yogena yujyate natra samshaya. Edam vibhuti yogam cha mamayo veti tattvada. But what that involves is quite a lot in that. Yeah? So vibhuti yogam, its power and its impact on us in the Jagrat, in Jagrat, if you reflect on this, contemplation on this, and through Jagrat it should come into dream state also. This, first of all, in vacant state you have to contemplate on this vibhutis and make that as a yoga inside us. And further contemplation, because what you do in Jagrat have a substantial effect on the dream. It will have effects on the dream, right? So, Krishna says that earlier, you remember, Krishna said in the 8th chapter that what you think during your lifetime, that will decide your time of death. What happens? Andhakale cha mameva. സ്മരൻ തെറ്റുവാ കളയമ്പരം യ പ്രയാതി സമ്മദ്ഭാവം യാതി നാസ്തി എത്ര സംശയ. സോ വെൻ ഹി സെഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ യു ആർ തിങ്കിങ് ഓൾ ദി ടൈം ഇൻ യുവർ മൈൻഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ലൈഫ് ടൈം, ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് ലൈഫ് വിൽ ബി ഓൺ ദ ബേസിസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ യുവർ മൈൻഡ് ഈസ് ഇൻ പ്രസന്റ് കറന്റ് ലൈഫ്. And that's why that verse is very famous. Andhakale chamameva. So one person went to Mahatma and told him, I have seen this in the Bhagavad Gita, this verse, right? So what I'll do is, I will think about Krishna now and go and jump underneath a lorry or a truck and give up my body that way, he said. And because I want to go back to Krishna, and Krishna says that one verse is very simple to understand, he said, that Andhakale chamameva. So I'll think about Krishna and then I'll jump underneath the truck and let it run over me and I'll die and I will get liberated that way, right? So the Mahatma told him that that's all right what you're saying, right? But before you jump into underneath the truck, your mind will change, he said. You make this decision to think about Krishna to jump underneath. But by the time you jump underneath the truck, your mind will change. So, you make decisions, but it won't happen that way, right? So, there is a space in between that. So, if we have to remember Krishna at the time of death, then you'll have to think about Krishna throughout the life. Throughout the life, right? But what is the guarantee that Krishna will come at the time of death? The symptom of that will be, in dream state, you will have if it is conquered the dream state, and Krishna is appearing in the dream, then you can see that the chances are there that at the time of death you will remember him. But if in your dream state is a good indication of what will be the condition of us at the time of death. Paramacharya mentions this very clearly. He says, if you want to understand where you stand spiritually, your dream state has been given for this purpose. Where do you stand in your spiritual life? If dream state is fully with all thoughts and emotions related to the world, outside world, it's more or less certain you will come back. But if in the dream state, if you see what Krishna has spoken, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Krishna's instructions, if they are appearing in dream state, it means that the chances are you will remember Krishna at the time of death. Krishna will appear at the time of death. So if swapnam, it is not such a simple thing as we make out of it, that I chanted 16 rounds. No, 16 rounds is not guaranteeing that. 16 rounds is only minimum expected from us to do as a minimum sadhana. That is not guaranteeing that you will remember Krishna at the time of death. Yeah, it is a very complex phenomenon, what's happening, right? So, if you have, in dream state, if you are experiencing Krishna, then you don't have to be fearful about death very much. But in order that to happen, in the vacant state, a lot of shravanam mananam has to happen. In the vacant state, a lot of shravanam and mananam has to happen. And that will lead you into dream state, where it will have its influence on the dream state, and then you don't have to be frightened about the death. So, otherwise, you do all kinds of nonsensical things in the vacant state, yeah? Then what will happen is, in the dream state, they are all inside us, and they will come out in the dream state. Right? So, one person who was talking Ramayanam for a long period of time, right, he said that many people have darshanam of Ramachandra, but like Tyagaraja Swamiji and others had darshanam of Ramachandra, And 30-40 years I have been talking Ramayanam about it. But nothing happens to me, he said. For me, instead of seeing Ramachandra, I am seeing Kumbhakarna, Shurpanaga, Tadaya and all that. In my dreams, he said. Even though I have been talking about Ramayanam for so many years, he said. But in the dream, these are the people who come, right? So, in Swapnam, in dream state, what happens in our Sushma Shariram? In our Sushma Shariram, right? For a jnani who has done proper contemplation, reflection in the vacant state, his Sushma Shariram is what they call as Jnanamayam Tapaha. Yes, Jnanamayam Tapaha. Jnanis also have a Sushma Shariram, subtle body, right? And what is the nature of that Sushma Shariram? That it is full of knowledge, awareness inside. Yeah. Jnana Spandanam or Jnana Prasaranam, Swanubhuti, different ways it's spoken. Chinmatra Sarupam. So in that Sushma Shariram, in their Sushma Shariram, Ragadvesham is not there. Ragadvesham is not there. Or what we say, adhyavasayam, different things superimposed on them, and different bhavanas, imaginations, those things are not there. There is only brahmagara vritti, that means proper brahmadarshanam inside. Maya has no entry there, in their consciousness. Yeah. So jnani, or I realize it's all you can say, then the spurti inside is pure. That means it's not touched by any of the impurities, right? So for a jnani, when he is in the body, he also has a power to keep that body going. And he has got his mind also. And what is the nature of this mind? The mind has gone and made the contact with the Antaryami inside. And so that mind that is occupied in the absorbed in the Antaryami is what they call it as Brahmagara Vritti. So when you reach that state, when it has joined that Antaryami, that is what he is saying here. So, avigambena yogena, vigambam, vikalpam has gone from inside. All vikalpam stopped completely, right? Vikalpam is not there. So, that is what he is saying. So, vibhuti leads into yogam. And that yogam becomes his very nature, which is avigampa yogam. And there is no more distractions inside. No more thoughts coming up, thought waves. And different emotions, these bhavams, they are all stopped. So, avigambe yogena, yujade natra samshaya. So, avigambe yogam means, avigamba means which doesn't move. Movement has stopped. What is the movement? Movement is all these thoughts, emotions that comes in the mind. It's our movement inside. That movement stops. So, when you see someone who has practiced chanting, a lot of chanting for a long period of time, Tyagaraja Swamiji chanted Ramachandra's name 96 crores. That was his lifetime he chanted. 96 crores time. So imagine Ramachandra's name. Yeah. So when I'd come to that stage, everything what you see is Narayana. Whatever you hear is Narayana. And whatever you do is Narayana. Everything is Narayana at that stage. Before he reaches that state. Yeah. So, and that is what is Avigamba Yoga means. Right? That even for a second, you don't fall away from that state of consciousness. Yeah. All the time, smriti, uninterrupted smriti, and even if any movement happens there, immediately he will go into solitude and through anisandhanam, come back to that tattvajnanam again, tattvavit, right? So, such a person who is established in the tattvam, what Krishna said there, mamayo veti tattvada, it's all so much to absorb in this, right? Intellectually you can say, tattvada is not intellectual absorption. When we say, veti tattvada means, edam vibhudiyamja mamayo veti tattvada. Veti tattvada means becoming that, not intellectual knowledge. Yeah? Tattvajnanam, because often we misunderstand also sometimes, tattvada does not mean simply knowing it with the mind and the brain. That you will lose anyway. One day when you die, you will lose all that. Mind goes, the buddhi gone, and they also gone with that, with the mind and buddhi. But this veti tattvada means, in awareness, you becoming that. In awareness. That means, you cannot think of you separate from that. To be one with that. With that existence itself. Yeah. So, and that is why tattvam should be understood first. Right? Tattvam basically means Krishna himself in other way. That is why vadandidat tattvavidam. Tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidhi shabdyade. So tattvam is Krishna actually. Or tattvam is Atma. Vadandidat tattvavidam. Tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Right? So, this remembrance of Krishna, not leaving us even for a second, right? And that is what that awareness is. So the simplest process, Krishna is saying also, is to chant the holy name unlimitedly, without any limitations, unlimitedly, right? And when you hear that, you may think it's very simple. Just chant, right? The holy name, all the time chanting, right? And it is accepted by the yogis also. Any chittavritti comes inside, everything will go, disappear with the chanting. That's the power of chanting. Chittavrittis will stop inside, right? And every holy name is a potential explosive. It will happen, right? So, it has got the power to do that. And that is why all great personalities, they all agree on this, that chanting the holy name has the power to put us into that state, or tattvam, to the tattvam, right? And the reason why they support the holy name more than others is because all other sadhana has got a beginning and an end. For example, if you take Vishnu Sahasranama, it takes about 20 minutes to chant. So it starts, and then about 20 minutes you chant the holy name, Vishnu Sahasranama, and it finishes. And similarly, if you are reading Bhagavad Gita also, you can read it for, say, 3-4 hours, whole of Bhagavad Gita, and it's over. Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read as a saptaham, 7 days' time, it's over. In all those things, you will think that I have done it. I have read it, I have read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end, or I have read Bhagavatam from beginning to end, or I have recited Vishnu Sahasranamam from beginning to end in this way, right? And this can also create a feeling of such that you have done it. That feeling will come from that, right? In chanting the holy name, because it is unlimited, it will never end. It will never end, right? And all that is required is the tongue to chant. And continuously chanting, you will find that this anusandhanam may develop at some point. Initially it won't. It will take a long time for this anusandhanam to happen, right? And it may lead into that state, if we have done, but everything depends on the vasanas inside also. Sarvam khalidam brahmam, egam eva dhiriyam brahmam. Neha nanasti kinchina. It can lead into this realization that many things don't exist here. Only Brahman exists. One thing exists here, right? And everything is Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, right? And in this way, that power will take over and chittavrittis will withdraw from inside. When this realization that actually only Krishna exists here, nothing else exists here, to get us to that state is what Krishna is saying to Uddhava also, that praname dandavat bhumav ashva chandala ghogaram, to bring us to that state that not many things existing here. So therefore you offer obeisances to everybody, dog, dog eater, brahmana, and everybody, chandala, all, you offer obeisances to get this understanding that only Krishna exists here, not these different forms, names. Because to escape from Namarubam and to come to this awareness is the most difficult part. Ekadasi Skandam also says the same thing, is it not? That so, to changing that bhavam, now we are saying that so many things are existing here, Namarubam. But Krishna is saying many things are not existing. Like, you can understand this when you compare, this was Prahlada's state. For Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu doesn't exist. Krishna exists. You see that? For Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu doesn't exist. For us, Hiranyakashipu exists, Prahlada exists. But for Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu doesn't exist. Krishna exists. Krishna exists in that form. How do we get to that state, Prahlada state? That is this Avigamba Yoga. These are all subtle things. Only yogis who have the practical experience of it, they will understand. We can understand with our intelligence some level, but then when you think about the depth of it, you see how tough it is to get to that state. Hiranyakashipu doesn't exist. Hiranyaksha doesn't exist. Kamsa doesn't exist. Ravana doesn't exist. Kumbhakarna doesn't exist. Yurpanaya doesn't exist. Taraja doesn't exist. Krishna exists. To that realization. Yeah. So that is what he is saying here. If you have mamayo veti tattvada, if you have understood like vadandida tattvavidam itta jnanam advayam, brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabdhyade, how you realize that in the same way, if you have realized this, vibhuti, all vibhutis, as a yogam, as comes as tattvajnana, tattvada, veti tattvada, then you are in that avigamba yogam. And yujyade natra samshaya. So, so the chittavrittis have to go first of all, from inside, right? So this mind itself is the first appearance of the Devi Shakti, the thing called mind that appears in all of us, is the first incarnation of that power of Antaryami from inside, right? Our bodham, awareness, is normally very, peaceful. There is no disturbances there in bodham, right? And in that bodham, the first manifestation is this mind, is the mind, right? And you can see in Sushupti, it's gone back into the source where it came from. The mind has gone back to the source where it came from, right? But as soon as you wake up, the mind comes. First thing that comes is the mind, is it not? As soon as you wake up, the first thing comes, right? So, and then what happens? I am a person, comes. Next step, I am a person, it comes. Mind comes, I am a person, it comes. All happens so fast inside, right? And the personality comes with us, along with that. And that is why Aho Purushika. And she is inseparable, that bodham, from that comes up, right? Inseparable from self, at same time separate. Same time it is separate. So, So from Chit Shakti this comes, and it comes as I am, and it starts its expansion. The mind starts, then the world comes. So the mind comes, then aham comes, and then the world comes in front of us, right? So you will see this in the Saundarya Lahari, spoken about it, that what they are saying is that what we were discussing on Sunday from Bhagavatam also, you remember what Krishna answered Uddhava about sa yesha jivo vivara prasudi, how Atma enters inside us through sound. The whole thing, if you want to understand better, more than that, is in the Saundarya Lahari. It is what Sri Parvati gave it to Shankaracharya and told him to write that, and he wrote this book, Saundarya Lahari. Saundarya Lahari, Shivananda Lahari, all of them are highly informative and understand, at least we can read and understand, but to practice all that, to make it as a realization, I don't know how many lifetimes we will need, but anyway, what he said was, Manastram Vyomastram Marudasi Marud Saradirasi Tum Abastram Bhumi Tvai Parinadayam Nahiparam Tum Eva Swatmanam Parinamaidam Vishya Vapusha Chidanandagaram Shiva Yuvadi Bhavena Vibrushe. Ajahn Swamiji says there that all this is manas. Manastum vyomastum agasham is all your form only. Agni also, water also, and the earth as well. It's all your different forms. When you come to the spiritual platform, you don't look at it like matter anymore. It's of a different perception altogether. Manas, agasham, and similarly agni. All from a spiritual side you have to look at it, right? You have transformed yourself into all these things, and there is nothing beyond than that. You are existing in that. And in other words, there in Saundarya Lahari, Ajahn Swami says it's you, referring to Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati instructed that as consciousness. And that consciousness is spoken in the Saundarya Lahari in that way. So let us understand this, right? Krishna is saying here, everything is me. Everything is me, right? So Shakti, that is Shakti. Shakti and Shiva. Shiva and Shakti, two things, right? In pure Shiva or pure Brahman, there is no creation. There is no creation. Yeah. Everything else is Shakti's mandalam, the field of Shakti it is. When we start talking about creation, you have come out of Brahman. Because then you have come to the power of, or creation power, which is Shakti. It is the field of Shakti, right? So all these forms when we are talking about, is all in the field of Shakti. Narayana, Ramachandra, Krishna, they are all in the field of Shakti, right? So similarly, Srishti Sthiti Samharam, creation, maintenance, destruction, is all the leela of Shakti. Shakti is leela it is. In Shivam, when we say Shivam Shakti, it is Purusha and Prakriti, or you can say Sachidananda Brahmam, Krishna, in that way. You can put it like that also, right? So it is his leela that is all these things are, which one? Creation, maintenance and destruction, right? All these things comes in front of us like this, it stays like this, and then it disappears, right? And it's all happening in him. And one who knows that these are all the movement that is happening, where is it experienced in the mind, is it not? All these movements are happening inside the mind, like the waves happening in the ocean. So in that Chit Shakti, different types of chitavrittis comes, like the waves coming from the ocean. Waves doesn't have permanent existence. Waves is also same ocean only. But it changes its form. Namarupam comes. Then we call it as waves and it has got a form. But then the Namarupam goes back and dissolves in the ocean. Waves goes back and dissolves in the ocean. Right. So, in this way, one should see all the thought waves inside us. And the mind comes and mind goes back into the chit again. Chit Shakti. Right. So it came from the Chit Shakti, it stays in the Chit Shakti and disappears in the Chit Shakti. Right. So so in this Sangalpam, this understanding, and one who is able to realize that inside, that all these thoughts and emotions are developing from the Chit Shakti, it is chasing the Chit Shakti, and it goes back into Chit Shakti. And one who have realized that in experience level happened to him, Krishna says, that is Avigamba Yoga. That means that the Avigambam means Avigalpam. There's no Vigalpam anymore. Vigalpams have stopped. Normally we have two problems, isn't it? Avaranam, Vikshepam, right? So this Vikshepam is all this Vigalpam. Vigalpam is all the Vikshepam. So all Vikshepam has stopped. Then only what is required, the avaranam has to go. Krishna is saying, if the vikalpams have stopped coming, that comes in the mind all the time and stays and then it disappears. Now what happens when they appear? We identify with that straight away. But if you are able to remove from that, but this all we can speak, but it's not so easy to make that happen. Yeah. So Krishna's point is that vibhuti yogam is these vibhutis have to become first as yogam, and then yogam turns into this tattvajnanam, tattvada, and then it will develop into avigamba yogam. So, I know it is difficult to assimilate all these things. All I can say is that what Bhagavad Gita says, you have to, even though it is not possible, but simply hearing this itself, you can see that the rishis were not giving us something very mundane knowledge. It's on a level which we can't even understand because of our conditioning nature, conditioned mind, right? Krishna is saying here that vibhuti yogam also is visheshana bhuti. That is vibhuti yogam, right? And whenever you look in the world outside, when you are seeing Krishna in everything, when we say Krishna in everything means only Krishna is existing here. And one who is seeing that, he is in that yoga state. He will be in that yoga state, right? If you say like this, that all the Mahatmas, great personalities, for example, gopis in the Bhagavatam, yeah, they said that every time when they see something, they only see Krishna, they said. You remember? In the Bhagavatam, in Punapunasmarayandi, if you look into the 10th canto, Krishna is talking, gopis are saying this. When Krishna left them, gopis are saying, everywhere we look, there is only Krishna there. Punapunasmarayandi, Nanda Gopasudam, it says there. So, that is all that Vibhuti Yoga. They were seeing Govardhanam, Kalini River, forests of Vrindavanam. Everything they are saying, when we were seeing that, we were only seeing Krishna. We couldn't see anything else. So, Krishna has brought them to that level, even then, right? So, all this, they are saying that this Vibhuti Yoga it is, in practice, yeah. Because we can't see that everywhere, therefore we have to go to temples, we have to go to holy places, we have to go to Himalayas and places, rivers, seaside, rivers and all that, right? And and similarly we go to Vrindavanam or we go to Yamuna River, Govardhanam and Himalayas, Ganga River. So when we see all these things, when we see them at least, when we see them only, some divine feelings comes in our mind, right? And we have to see Krishna when the eyes are open. Not that only see him when you are in meditation with the closed eyes, right? So that in meditation, if you are able to do that, that experience has to come in the vacant state as well, when the eyes open, right? Prahlada had that. So Prahlada talks about that secret in the Bhagavatam. Yeah? Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, I can't see anywhere Krishna. Prahlada says, I can only see Krishna, nothing else. You remember that in the Prahlada Stuti, that conversation. Look at the words, what he said. Prahlada's point was, Manovajasa Niruktam. If you understand that verse, what he is saying there? Tvam Vayu Agni Avani Ambu Matra Pranan Indriyani Hridayam Chid Anugrahascha Sarvam Tvameva Saguno Vigunascha Bhuman Nanyal Todastabi Mano Vajasa Niruktam. That's what he said to Prahlada Stuti. He's like this too. He's saying this, that so that was Prahlada's vision. Prahlada was in that state. He's saying all this is Narayana in a form. In a special form, he's staying like this, right? I see a flower, I say it is a flower, right? Prahlada will say, Narayana is present in the form of a flower. It's not just verbal thing. It is that realization inside, yeah? I see this as a book. Prahlada will say, Narayana in the form of a book exists there. Right? So, or he says in the form of a mic, whatever it is, right? Or in the form of a tree. Everything is Narayana. For him, nothing existed outside Narayana. Everything is Narayana. That Abhigamba Yogam it is. Yeah, it has come to that state for him. So, whereas Hiranyakashipu is seeing everything different. And he is saying that, where is Narayana? I can't see him. And Prahlada is saying, I can only see Narayana, nothing else. He said, right? So the thing is, when that happens, there is no Chittavritti then. When does Chittavritti comes? When you are seeing things, everything separately. That's when Chittavritti comes. Chittavritti will always be there when everything you are seeing different things. Namarupam, when you are seeing, Chittavritti will be there. Sachidanandam, when you see, Chittavrittis will stop. So that Sachidanandam state, when there is no more Chittavritti and no more Namarupam, that was Prahlada's state. And that is what is reflected in this verse. Tum Vayuragni Avanivyad Ambu Matra Prane Indriyani Hridayam Chidanugrahascha. You have to see what Krishna is saying. And what is in the Bhagavatam, what Prahlada was going through. Yeah? So, in this way, that does not mean that you have to be saying all the time, Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. Not that. What he is saying is that, when you get to realize that, only Narayana exists, nothing exists outside Narayana. When that awareness comes inside, then you won't have any more Chittavritti. Chittavritti will stop at that time. Instead of that, if you start thinking, if I see this book, I start thinking, oh, this is Narayana. That is a Chittavritti then. But Chittavritti has to stop. I can't see this as a book anymore. Namarupam has to go from inside. Chittavrittis has to stop. And then you will see everything, this state of avigampa yogam will come. What Krishna has spoken there. So vigampena yogena, he says. Yujire natra samshe. That means you are already with me then. That's Krishna's point. Mamayo veti tatvada, so avigampena yogena yujire natra samshe. You are already with me, right? Whereas if you start thinking that everything is... I start thinking, my case, oh, this is Narayana. Book, oh, this is Narayana. Table, this is Narayana. All people sitting, oh, they are all Narayana. If you think like that, it won't happen. This has to happen inside. Yeah. So, so therefore, Prahlada said there also that... how he has come to this state. Tumva yuragniravanirviyadambu matram pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascha sarvam tumeva saguno vigunascha bhuman nanyal todabi todasyabhi mano vajasa niruktam. Vajasa niruktam, he said. So, in order that to happen, that Krishna, he says in the next verse, how did he get to that state? Neito gunana gunino mahadadeyo. That is the next verse. After that, tumvayuragni. Neite gunana gunino mahadadeyo ye. Sarve mana prabhradaya sahadeva martyaha adhyandavanda murugaya vidandihitva evam vimrsya sudhiyo viramandi shabdal. Vimrsya sudhiyo viramandi shabdal, he says. I have done vijaram very much inside. And what does the yogis do? He says, vimrsya sudhiyo. Vimarsha Sudhi means that in your intelligence you have very well churned it inside and it has become your realization, in other words. Not an intellectual realization, but Tattva Jnanam has happened to you. And yogis, what do they do? They, by this analysis, they stop their thought waves. They stop their thought waves. Because thought waves, what is its purpose? What is the benefit from that? See, our chittam, it wants to know other things. Anything if I see, say this book, I want to experience that inside. So thought waves have to develop inside about the book in me. Only then this object will come inside me. Otherwise, that will remain like that, I will remain as I am. In order that this thing has to come inside me, to know that this is Saundarya Lahari, and there is so many things spoken in the Saundarya Lahari. It's a conversation between Sri Parvati and Acharya Swamiji. All these things, if this all, it has to be known inside, this has to come inside me. Saundarya Lahari has to come inside me, right? So, in order that to happen, that power to develop inside me, chittavritti is required. Without that, this won't happen, right? But all this chittavritti is also Krishna, is coming from Krishna, right? And that is what he is saying. Evam vimrsya sudhiyo viramandi shabdal. That I have realized that it is all coming, that chittavrittis are coming from Andaryami. And this awareness I have developed inside me, permanently. And therefore, I can only see now one thing, that Andaryami has everything else. Because these chittavrittis are also coming from him. I have churned it inside enough. In other words, Prahlada is saying that. So, chittavritti is also Bhagavad Swarupam. Krishna, it's coming from him, right? So, he's saying, adhyandamanda murugaya vidandihitval evam vimrsha sudhiyo viramandi shabdal. ekatvam, that means that everything is Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, and abhyasam of that, practicing that. Yeah. And when you do that, mind becomes the language of the self. What that means is, it will not more, at the moment our mind is like a blabbering thing instrument, isn't it? Mind tells something, we go along with this. Mind tells something else, we go along with that. Mind is controlling us whole day. Mind is dictating and we are going along with it whole day. But when the mind has come under control, he is saying here that mind, when stops this chitta-vritti, it will start talking the language of the antaryami then. That means mind will have nothing else to say. Mind won't dictate to us. That means antaryami's language is what? Antaryami's language is everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. So mind will come to that state. Yeah. So it will come directly from the heart, everything what happens. And that language is not the language of the ordinary mind. It's alaugikam, they say, not belonging to this world. That's the language of the antaryami. And that is what Prahlad's state is. Yeah. So if you study those two verses, first one, 48, where he said that first realization of Prahlada. He is saying, you are the air, you are the fire, you are the water, you are the sky, space, everything is you. Then he says, pranan is you, senses are you, the heart is you, chit, shakti is you, sarvam tvameva, sagunam vigunam, whatever it may be, nanyal, so nothing else exists, mano vajasa niruktam. So to come to that realization, Prahlada says, I've come to that realization, right? So, in other words, he is saying this state, what Krishna is saying here in the seventh verse, he is in that state, yeah? And then he said that, how he got there, adhyandavandam urugayam idandihitvam evam vimrsha sudhiyo viramandi shabdal, that I have scrutinized and analyzed it, and changed my mind's situation. Mind which was busy with chitta-vritti, it has stopped that. And that mind, that power, is completely with antaryami now. And mind only speaks what antaryami says. Antaryami speaks through the mind. That same power, antaryami, it speaks, spoken by antaryami through that. Yeah. So, when it's like that, then it becomes that we started realizing it becomes our friend. Even Krishna said, mind becomes your friend, it said. Otherwise, mind is your enemy. When it is doing ordinary chitta-vrittis all the time, it's our enemy. But when it becomes in this state, when it starts speaking the antaryami's language, that becomes your friend, right? So, yeah. So, it becomes its power. And sankalpa vikalpams all goes away. So at that stage there is no ragadvesham or other kinds of sankalpams and vikalpam. What we have, difficult to study this mind because of the nature of it. It's so complex, is it not? So ragadvesham has to go, sankalpa vikalpam has to go, and this understanding that many things exist here, that also has to leave, right? And you can see this, that it is not an easy thing to get to that state. Yeah, and even people who are doing sadhana, a lot of people who are doing sadhana, right? Big sadhana, and they take different positions in the sense that in the form of bhakti yogam, or in the Ashtanga Yogam, Jnana Yogam, through all that different dresses they put on, the people who are practicing them, right? And the way we dress up in spiritual life, in different dresses, it's very variegated, as jnanis or yogis or devotees and all that, right? So when they are dressed up like this, right, they have certain feeling for, they still have not become free from ragadvesham. Ragadvesham, it's not easy to come out of that, right? So naturally in that state also they will have, they like some people they don't like, right? And they will find fault in others, hate in others, right? So competition also, all these things, even among the spiritually busy people, people who are very busy in spiritual life, right? And after all that, then they will go into dhyanam and samadhi and all, they'll do all that, right? But all these things, if it is not happening in vyavaharam is the testing ground of your spiritual life, where you stand in spiritually. The testing ground is vyavaharam, right? So it is in vyavaharam you have to get rid of all these things, right? So suppose you feel hate towards someone, you will immediately install them in your mind first, that person, right? But if you are able to see that Krishna is there in him, and that way if you are able to remove that hate from inside, that means some success you have in spiritual life. Otherwise not. Suppose somebody whom you hate normally, and you have already installed him in your mind inside, right? But if you are able to see that it is Krishna who has come in that form, and if you are able to respect him in that way, and take away the other thought as your enemy, and the hate what you had, then accepting that Krishna is present in them as Antaryami, and if I am hating him, I am hating Krishna. In that way, right? In that way you have to remove that feeling that another person exists in him. If you think that there is another person existing, with whom you have developed this ragadvesham, then that hate will not leave. But if you are able to think that, you may hate him because of your, you see, hate, love and all that is towards the prakriti you are doing it, not towards the antaryami. But because we don't have that perception proper, we will hate that person, even though it is prakriti. But if you want to come out of that problem, you have to see that Antaryami is present in him. You have to give more importance to the Antaryami in that person, more than his prakriti. If you do that, wherever if you feel hate towards anyone, you should try to practice this principle, that you are hating actually Antaryami in him. And that way try to bring the effect of that hate on us. Try to bring it down to the extent possible, right? Now, this practice, sadhana, it may not be possible for everybody to do with everyone, because certain experiences in life or certain events in life may have created such a strong feeling inside. It depends on the hate what we have created inside towards someone, right? So in such a situation, the best thing to do is not to go closer to that person, to keep away from the person, right? Because somehow or the other, to avoid chittavritti. Chittavritti should not happen. Chittavritti nirodham has to happen. So just like when you are making a nice sabji, when you are cooking like that, right? So many ingredients comes into that, yeah. And similarly, the essence of all this thing is that chittavritti nirodham, right? And what happens with this practice is, Krishna says, that chittavritti stops, right? But then if you say, is it sleep? No, but because kashayasthiti means when you are mood off, you're feeling not in a good mood, right? Then what is it? That in a solid experience inside, All the objects what you see in this world, physically what you see in this world, more than that, the experience of Antaryami inside, Chit Shakti inside, and Chit manifesting in us more powerfully than we seeing the objects and creating Ragadosham inside. I know I have not made it clear. When the Antaryami realization comes and the mind goes into Antaryami, when we see things in this world also, normally they create Chittavritti inside. Instead, seeing Antaryami as manifested in this world, it will come to that stage, right? Only then the Chittavritti Nirodham, what Patanjali talks about, happens, right? And so that manifestation of the Chit Shakti in all the world outside, that includes all the jivas everywhere, its manifestation is Avigamba Yoga. That is called Avigamba Yoga. Avigamba Yoga is another yoga Krishna has talked about, but through Vibhuti, Bhagavad Gita is full of yoga, isn't it? Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, three main yogam spoken. But apart from that, so many other yogams Krishna has spoken. Buddhi Yoga, Avigamba Yoga. So Avigamba Yoga is this one. When Chit Shakti, Chit from Chit, Shakti spreads into the world outside, and seeing everything as Chit Shakti, rather than seeing as the Namarupa, that stage, right? So, what is the sadhana for this? Upanishad says, Are drashta shrodhavya, drashtavya, shrodhavya, nididhyasidavya. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi that with a lot of love he is calling her, Oh Maitreyi, right? When someone feels very dear to you, you say like that. Why was it so dear to Yajnavalkya? Because Maitreyi, when Yajnavalkya said he wants to go into the forest, he wanted to do what they call the write the will, you can say. In other words, Yajnavalkya's wealth. So Maitreyi said, I don't want anything in the will and all. What I want is Brahmavidya, she said to him. And that impressed Yajnavalkya very much. That a woman is asked like this, my wife is asking me, she is so, that shows that how serious she was about self-realization. So she said to him that out of love for her, seeing her, that nature in her, yeah, she asked for Brahmavidya, and she said, I don't want anything else. I just want Brahmavidya, she said. So that is what said, I am Are Atma Drashtavya. And you have to see this Atma outside, right? Not only seeing outside, pratyaksham, not paroksham, but pratyaksham. Normally we say aparoksham. Paroksham, aparoksham, isn't it? So, pratyaksham means what you see through senses. Paroksham means what you experience in the brain and mind. Abraksha means becoming, realizing it. So all these are different terminologies in realization process. Pratyaksham is what you perceive through senses. Paroksham means that you are capturing through your mind and brain. So everywhere what is happening, experience inside. Pratyaksham is experience. Paroksham is also causes experience. Abraksham also causes experience only. It's only experience only. But difference between the three is, paroksham comes through senses inside. Pratyaksham comes through senses inside. Paroksham comes in the form of experience in the mind and the brain. Aparoksham becomes, you become that. That is why aparoksha anubhuti is actually this tattva-jnanam. Proper tattva-jnanam is aparoksha anubhuti. Aparoksham, if it doesn't happen, the other two are useless. If the aparoksham has not happened. But before you get to aparoksham state, you have to go through pratyaksham and through Paroksham before you come to Aparoksham. You can see the differences in all the three, right? So, Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Maitreyi, right, this Aparoksham, if it has happened, in their darshanam, in their vision, this knowledge of the self will be very powerful, in their vision, who has the Aparoksha Jnanam. And so therefore, you have to do mananam, nididhyasanam, shravanam. Yajnavalkya Maharshi gave the upadesham to Maitreyi. And he told Maitreyi, now you have to do mananam on this, what I have spoken, and then nididhyasanam on that. So, here, that is how Upanishad, Yajnavalkya Maharshi and Maitreyi spoken in that way. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken the same thing in a mode of bhakti, bhakti bhava, right? And that is the next verse, if you look. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartade, idi matva bhajandema, buddha bhava samanyuda. Famous verse this is. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartade, idi matva bhajandema, buddha bhava samanyuda. So, Bhavam means the mind. Where does the bhavam comes? In the mind, is it not? So, mind's nature is bhavam. Yeah? What does the mind do? Mind is always telling us what? To do something, to become something, which we don't know what it is, but mind keep on saying to us, in a very subtle level, it is making us to do something or think about something to become something. Yeah. So, and what else mind does? Mind also thinks about what all happened in the past. It'll keep on thinking about it, right? So this is what mind does. So this power of the mind is the bhavana shakti. Mind power to reflect on the past and to think about the future. This bhavana shakti is a part of this mind. It's the energy of the mind, right? And that's what we call it as mind. What is mind? We don't know where it is, but this is happening inside every one of us. Thinking about the past and imagining about it, bhavana, about the past. Similarly, thinking about the future and about future what should happen, living in a world of that, of bhavana. That is the what this mind is, right? And it is an unusual power. And what does it do? It continuously creates a dream inside all of us, right? And and also, when you go into dream state, where does that happen? In the mind. So, and we don't know where he is. And he is inside. And he gives us a lot of trouble also, this one. Right? And so when you are dreaming in the night, right, all that what you have been dreaming throughout the day, which you want to make it happen in sometime in the future, and that is supported by time, kalam, right? And it has got the power, the mind has got the power to materialize things what you are imagining. Imagining means in your bhavana. Those things to happen sometime in the future to happen, that power mind has got to make it happen. It may not happen in this lifetime. It may stay inside as a bhavam. But in the subtle body, if it is deep rooted, in some lifetime it will happen. What bhavana you have created inside. And mind has got the power to do that. Yeah. So, we say sometimes, oh, everything what I think, will it happen? Will it happen? Sometimes we say like that, is it not? I'm just thinking, not that it will happen, we say. Just in my imagination, I'm thinking that it will happen. One day it will happen, sometimes people say like that. One day it may happen, who knows, they will say. Is it not? We say like that, and generally in our conversation also. It may or may not happen, and we say like that. Right? But Shruti says, no, it will happen. What it is saying is that whatever sankalpam has come inside, it will happen. And only thing is, kalam's support is required. Therefore, it may not happen in this lifetime. Kalam will decide that. What vasanas has to, because sankalpam means it has become a vasana inside. So that vasana has to happen somewhere, some point in time. So it may not happen in this lifetime, and it may not happen in this world either. It may not happen in this lifetime. It may not happen in this world, but in some world, sometime it will happen. It has become a part of you then. That is, so this any sankalpam what has happened inside, the mind has got the power to make that happen at some point in time, somewhere, in some world, to experience that, what that sankalpam is, right? So, it has got a force of its own, a shakti. We are not worrying about it. Why? Because we think, in our estimation now, how far do we think? Up to death maximum. Beyond that, we don't think, do we? We think that everything is finished. If I can somehow survive in this body till death, my thinking power is finished there. After that, what happens? My mind is not thinking. Although we may ask all kinds of questions about life after death, in our daily life, we are only worried about till death, if I can pay the mortgage and keep the house in order, family in order, and I can survive. That's how far our mind will take us. Right? But this force, mind, is a power that comes from Antaryami. It's a special power. And it is very difficult to describe that power, what the mind does, right? It's a power, and what is its nature? Its nature is like this. What controls this mind is your awareness inside. Awareness inside, right? Sanal Kumara Maharshi talks about this in Chandokya Upanishad, about this thing called mind, right? He says, he discusses stage by stage by stage how this mind starts working, how the mind works, from Rishi's point of view, yeah? Whatever we think in our mind, what is best for us, in our mind, what it comes like that, accordingly, your bhavana will go. You know that, don't you? Suppose I think something will make me happy, and I'm going to be totally happy because of that, then all my thoughts and everything will be centered around towards that. Suppose I decide that if I have a lot of money, I'll be very happy. If a thought comes like that and it takes control of me, then all my actions and thoughts will be centered around that understanding. All the bhavams inside us develops, right? So, this is Rishi's explanation to all these things, right? So, if I have got a goal, making money as a goal, then my bhavana will be all the ways I can do that, make the money. That's how my mind will work then. If that has become my goal of life. Yeah? Making money is a goal of life. If that has taken over in my mind, then the mind will start working from then on with all the ways and means to make that money happen, to make that wealth comes to me. And that's the way mind will behave. That's the way the mind behaves, right? So, Rishis are saying, if the similar way, if inside your thought developed self-realization as the goal, then your mind will start looking for ways and means to realize the self. All that is required for self-realization. It will start working like that. Because that has not happened, that is why we are still not getting that mumukshatvam inside. What we call it as jinyasa, or the mumukshatvam, has not happened. Because inside that, thought has not come inside the mind. Bhavam has not developed, right? So, sadhana, who are doing sadhana, they know this, that when you come to the spiritual process, right, you will start, if you come to that, realization has come inside. Self-realization as the goal has become the top priority. Then you will start thinking everything in relationship with that, about the spiritual master, and you will start imagining about that. Salsangam, you will imagine about that. And similarly, meditations, samadhi, all these things, bhavana will develop inside. Imaginations will develop inside. Or, just like a spiritual book, you may write to read, right? And you will analyze the book very well inside, right? And you are always in your inside, deep inside, you are thinking about self-realization. It has taken over you then. Like money has taken over, that is taken over now, right? So, Krishna says here, and is this mind is a very helpful power when it is doing like that, right? So, what has happened now? The mind is turned in that direction, right? Similarly, in Adhyalpam, in spiritual life also, more than the sthulam side, the gross side, this part is more important. This part is more important. That means this bhavana of the mind and these imaginations that's coming inside the mind about the goal is more important than all the gross things what you do in spiritual life. Gross things means with all your, the visiting holy places, or studying Shastram, or doing deity worship, or different types of sadhana, they all have very limited effect compared to this power that is driving you towards a goal, which is this mind and the bhavana, what is developing inside, right? So, now comes important thing, right? So, Rishi's opinion is this, their point of view is that, sthulam, people ask on a gross level, sthulam level, people ask what is happening on a gross level. In other words, they say fact is important, right? Fact is important. fact is important, but it is not the most important one. Yeah? Bhavana is more important. This all things, nobody tells us these things, right? Because I'll tell you why. We have been trained to think like this. Fact is more important. Shastram and the Rishis are saying to us, bhavana is more important. Because people will say, you have to speak the truth, isn't it? Fact, you have to speak. Rishi says, no. Rishi says, bhavana is the truth. Fact is not the truth. That's their position. Yeah. The modern way of life and modern way of thinking, they give importance to fact. Rishis are saying fact is not important. What is going through inside you, this bhavana, what is developing, that's more important. That is the truth, they say. Because why? It is this bhavana that becomes a fact later. We give importance to the fact all the time, in our daily life also, in Vyavaharam, and in everything. History and all has come from this fact, not came from bhavana. History has written, all based on the fact they are writing these things. And they are teaching us all these things. And that is what has made us to become like this, to studying all these things, right? So, for example, I give you another example. You are discussing some bad thing. Say, husband and wife is discussing some bad things that has happened about something in life. Only they know that, right? You are discussing that. Suddenly your child came in, 4 or 5 year old. When the child comes in, you don't want him to hear this, what you are discussing between yourself and husband and wife, right? They don't want the child to hear that. What do they do normally? They will change the topic. or they will tell something to the child, because child also is very sensitive. Child will observe, they are talking something which is not, some doubt comes in his mind. So what the parents do? They will change the topic and put it in some way so that the child's bhavana doesn't get wrongly affected by that. Child does not get affected by these thoughts. So the parents will say something, even though it's not the fact. They will say that so the child doesn't get spoiled by that thought, right? So, while doing that, what has happened? The child's bhavana you didn't disturb, whatever the bhavana he had in his mind, right? So this is common sense. In our life we do that, right? So this is what the rishis do in the shastram all the time. This is what they do in the shastram, right? Their intention is that you shouldn't destroy somebody's bhavana, right? But you should not disturb somebody's bhavana. But the Western mind, if you look, it is not like that. The mind in the West, which you can observe that, right? Their mind is that for them, fact is more important. Bhavana is not important. Have you noticed that? In the Western philosophy, Western mind, it is like that. They give importance to the fact, but rishis give importance to the bhavana inside. What is inside going on, that matters to them, not what's happening in the world. Fact, right? So, therefore what happens? In the name of fact, they will propagate all kinds of nonsense in this world, right? And they will destroy the bhavana of children and also devotees. Their bhavana, what they have, they will get destroyed by their fact, so-called fact. Fact has no value. In what controls a person is his bhavana inside, right? And then what they do is, they'll go and do research on that. Anything, they get hold of something, and they'll start going to research on that, to verify that it's a fact. They are not given any importance to the bhavana that has created, but they'll go and do research on the so-called fact, what they want to do. Then they'll say, was there a person called Krishna? Which year did was born? Where did he live? And there this fact-checking all the time. In everything, fact-checking is important for them, right? Did Rama take birth in this world, right? And did he live? Which was the year he was born? And how old was he when he left this world? This is all important for them. This fact-checking, verifying everything, right? And we were saying that he lived so many thousands of years ago. And then they want to make sure that what you are saying is correct. Did Ramchandra live 50,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago? And they want to verify and make sure that what you are saying, and then they say, we have fact checked and it's not coming out right. So it doesn't right. So this is what they got from Ramayana now at the end. Yeah. So you can read this, how our mind, Rishi's mind, is different from the modern mind. Modern mind everywhere is like this now. India is also the same thing. That Rishi's mind is, they didn't give any importance to the so-called facts what we are talking about. This is happening in the Maya. Maya is doing so many things in this world. And what is the point in verifying all these things? That's their question. Rishis are asking us, what are you going to gain, whether Second World War happened between 1939 and 1945, or First World War between 14 and 18? By knowing that, what did you gain? That's what they are asking us. Rishis are asking this question. This is the problem with the modern world. We take all this very seriously, even though it has not helped us in any way. In all this, in any way, it has not helped us. All that 10, 15 years, what you learned in the school, most of it was a waste of time. It hasn't helped. So the point is, Rishis Sampradayam is like this, right? That they are saying that, where do you stay in your sankalpam and in your bhavana? That is what needs to be controlled. That's where everything is happening there. That is where control is required. And if that bhavana is very well built up inside, and therefore rishis wrote all the Puranams and everything, Bhagavatam, everything, to develop that a strong bhavana inside, so that you will go towards the goal of self-realization. Right? Just like you can see, when you say something, first thing they will ask, is it BC or AD? They will ask this question, right? So, when they do that, they are keeping Jesus Christ as the center. And on that basis, they are asking you this question, BC or AD, isn't it? So, they don't ask the question, did he exist really? That question they are not asking. But, and this is all vibhrandi of the mind, yeah? Because the mind has gone in that direction. And for rishis, the important thing is bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. And that is all in the bhavana. It is not something you can verify with your facts and figures. Whereas the modern mind works on facts and figures. Rishis are working on bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. If that takes control of our bhavana inside, the mind inside, then you have escaped from this situation. You have to think deeper about this. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.